702.
The Love Connection.
And I'm joined by Dr. Nomasonto Zwane. Dr. Zwane, thank you so much for joining me once again. I really appreciate your time.
Good evening, Aubrey. Good evening to your listeners. And thank you once again for inviting me.
How could our relationships with our parents have an effect on our relationships with our romantic significant others, Dr. Zwane? I've got a sense, but I'm really interested to hear this from you. By the way, please join us on 011-883-0702. This is a conversation you want to be a part of. How, Dr. Zwane?
Aubrey, the first thing that we need to understand is that the first relationship that we have, it is from and it is between, it's the relationship that we learned through the two people that created us.
Yeah.
So their relationship, it gives us a basis of where our relationship or our understanding of what relationships are and how we would express relationship happen. So this happens because for any human being to, or how it happens is any human being to be formed, there's got to be two, an egg and a sperm that come together and form and eventually form an embryo and develop into a human being. So that on its own, it tells us that in our DNA already will run their love story, irrespective of what that is. And especially the love story that your mother was carrying when she was pregnant with you.
You're saying to me that we are able to imbibe, to absorb certain, I suppose, stories, even when we are in utero, based on how our mothers felt when they were in a particular relationship?
Yes, it's exactly what I'm saying. Remember, when a child is in the womb, they receive either the food or everything that they need through the umbilical cord that connects the two of them with the mother. So they receive the information and whatever it is that they are collecting and creating in a memory form from the mother. So whatever it is that the mother was eating, the mother was doing, the mother was experiencing, the mother was feeling, the child will remember that in their memory.
Will it be a cognitive memory, Dr. Zwane? In other words, I imagine that if a baby who's still forming in mommy's tummy, I imagine that they haven't perhaps developed the cognitive skills of analysis, of interpretation. What are they imbibing? What are they learning in that process? And I digress. I want to go elsewhere, but this is quite fascinating. What are they learning? What are they interpreting? Are they analyzing? Are they forming opinions in utero?
No, they're not analyzing anything there. They're just scanning and taking in the information. There, they're just putting the imprint and taking in whatever. When the mother, let's say the mother is sensing whatever, the child will also sense that. Then the memory of that will stay in the child's body. So they are not analyzing anything. The analysis and all that, it only happens once the baby is here and after age two, at times after age four, depending on the development of the child. But in the utero already, whatever the mother is going through, the child is also experiencing. They are not analyzing or making out exactly what this means and so forth.
Yeah,
no, they're just taking in the imprint and forming pictures in their own. Yeah.
So there's no real sophisticated cognitive processes that are taking place there. But what you are saying is that the reality of that experience as experienced with the levels of development of the child is being recorded in their formulating body at that stage. But Dr. Zwane, what will it produce then? And I'm not sure how to ask this question, but whatever it is that the child imbibes, whatever it is that the child absorbs while in utero, what does it produce once the child is fully developed and is a full human being outside of mommy's womb?
Yeah, you know, what then that produces, it gives you what I normally call a blueprint of your love story. What I mean by a blueprint, it gives you an indication of the things. Remember, when a child is born, we are all born here for a certain purpose and a mission. And we are here to help the humanity in whatever way, with whatever gift that we have been armed with, or we have God has gifted us with. So we come with all of that, and then we already are in this space to either help express a different version of what we had imprinted, or at times we will, for the person that who's not conscious, we will keep on repeating what is that we have imprinted.
Number 1-883-0702. My guest is Dr. Nomason Dozwane, a relationship coach. We're talking about, can your relationship with your parents, even at the point of being in mommy's tummy, in utero, can that relationship affect your love life in later life? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. What are the typical things that we observe that have that link, that connection in many of our relationships, Dr. Zwane? What are the typical things that we would be able to recognize just on the onset as we have this conversation that are typical of the connection between our parents and how that connection plays itself out in our romantic relationships?
Okay, using an example to answer that. When somebody, I'll use an example for when the mother was pregnant, there was a conflict between them, the mother and the father. So now, whenever the mother was, or maybe there was this sound, there was shouting between the two of them, or there was, they were always fighting and all of that. So now, what then will happen when this person comes? When you are now in an adult relationship, you will find yourself, whenever there's a fight between the two of you, or the person that you are with, then you cringe. It's like you freeze, and you don't understand where that is coming from. You find yourself not being able to express exactly what it is that you're feeling, but you can feel it in your body at times when it closes your throat in such a way that you are unable to express what it is that you are feeling.
And does it then affect the relationship, do you think? Does it affect the relationship, the love relationship, the romantic relationship? Is there a real effect on that relationship? I mean, I see how I see the connection between the relationship with the parents and how you feel at that moment. But what about the romantic relationship itself?
Yes, it will affect. It will affect the relationship. For an example, somebody who doesn't know how to express themselves, who doesn't know how to express their feelings, like most of the people that I know, they normally come to me. A whole lot of people don't know how to express what they are feeling. They will tell you that this is, I think. So it's like they are not used to feeling things in their body. So what then happens is, when this thing happens, because it shuts the person's voice, then they become in their behavior. They become that person who just shuts off whenever there's a fight between the two of you. Yeah. Then they will just shut off, then they will go silent and will not talk to you, because they don't know how to express this thing that they are already feeling and that is happening. So it affects you, the both of you, in that way, that you don't get to speak about things, you don't get to resolve whatever it is that is happening.
Tell me if your relationship with your parents has helped you know how to model intimacy. Yeah. Tell me if your relationship with your parents has perhaps helped you to model other aspects of who you are in that relationship. And how has that affected your relationship with your significant other? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. Could it be that the way that dad and mom used to show love to each other has facilitated your ability to show love in your current relationship? And could the opposite be true? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. Can I take some calls, Dr. Zwane?
Okay.
Let's do so. Petra is in Lynnwood in Pretoria. Hi, Petra.
Hi, Aubrey. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Go ahead, Petra.
What an amazing guest you have tonight. I really would like to know, I got part of the response of the question that I have, though.
Yep.
But I would like to know, in case of fighting, if somebody I've seen grew up in a township and you see women fighting, this one would be pregnant and be fighting and say, sending obscenities towards each other. And as you grow up, the child also grows up. You know, you watch the child growing up and then fighting as well. Is that the thing that is happening through whatever happened when the mother was pregnant?
So are you saying to me, let me try and see if I understand the question, Petra. So are you asking whether or not they can learn that through that that process?
Yeah,
I hear you.
Through the process, yes. I would like to know if I have witnessed that, as in somebody seen fighting, and then the next thing, the offspring, when the child grows up, they become violent as well. You know, so
yeah.
And we hear people, oh, they got it somewhere, or she got it from her mother or his mother. So is that, does it happen also, you know?
And so you're asking, even outside of the romantic relationship, can the traits, can the behaviors that a parent was exhibiting, No, I get it.
We've seen it in couples where the man or the woman is always violent, violent.
Yeah.
And then you find that when the child, one of their child who's born, would become the same to their partners, or they just, like, everybody knows that this one is going to fight with
you.
And you hear older people saying, oh, by the way, his mother used to fight.
Yeah, I hear the question. Dr. Zwane, to what extent do we separate what we learn through that process that you and I have been talking about, the absorption of certain pictures, yeah? Because mom was going through a certain experience and so forth, versus hereditary issues, right? Somebody has got certain hereditary characteristics. They've got a temper like their mother, or they've got a temper like their father. To what extent, and is there a difference here, Dr. Zwane?
Actually, what we call ufuzo, the things that we inherited, it's exactly what we are talking about. Those are the things that we have collected, and they are running already within us in our DNA, which is our memory, the memory of our bloodline that is already running in us. So now what then happens, each and every child that is born, they are here to help align back their DNA back to their divinity, if I may call it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They are here to help do that. But when they are not yet conscious, which is what happens when we are growing up as children, then you see the child, that the caller was explaining, that the child now starts fighting other kids, just like the mother used to fight the other women. Because as I've mentioned earlier, it's not really the relationship between the two, which is between the mother and the father. But the relationship, the relationship or what was happening around the mother, it is more critical.
Yeah.
More so as well when the father was there. Because even when the father is absent, let's say for an example, the father decides to deny the pregnancy and then they say they reject this child. Already the mother is carrying the emotion. Let's make an example, the resentment. This mother is angry at this man. So this child already is carrying, in their DNA, they will have this fear of rejection. So what they will do then when they get into this plane, what they will do is whenever they sense anything that feels the rejection, they run away.
I want to go into romantic issues, but I'm sure all of these other, you know, issues are going to stay in the conversation about, you know, inheriting a particular character from mom or from dad, I imagine. But I'm interested in hearing calls, Dr. Zwane, from people who can trace their ability to love, or perhaps even the opposite thereof, but the ability to be attentive, to be present from how they learned that from their parents. Yeah. Many of us. I've never seen my parents kiss. I've never seen it. I don't even know whether they do. Right. But you know, I don't know whether that has anything to do with how I turned out in my romantic relationship, that maybe I'm a little shy for the public display of affection. I don't know whether that might be the case, but I'm interested to hear the calls from our listeners as far as that is concerned. But tell me, Dr. Zwani, and now I'm using me as an example here. I'm a little shy. I mean, my wife less so. My wife is game. She can. but me, I'm a little shy to show affection publicly. Although I love affection, right? I love intimate attention. But I'm a little shy. I'm a little uncomfortable with showing it in public. Could that have something to do with the fact that I've never seen Ubaba Masango no Mama Sango Baba?
Yes. You don't know how to display this affection because you have never seen it. It is. You remember, it doesn't. We don't only inherit only the things that happened before. Even while we are here, when we get here now, let's say from age 2 or age 4, when we now we start analyzing and putting things together for ourselves. When we don't see certain things, we also say, you know what? I'm going to shy away. When somebody comes, it makes you uncomfortable. When somebody like your wife now, she's very, she likes expressing herself.
Yeah, she's
types of things. And what is interesting is that you will always go and attract the opposite of what you are.
Yes. That's interesting. Listen, let me take some calls. Molefe is in Pretoria. Hi, Molefe.
Yeah, how's it?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Interesting topic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Hey, doctor. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. Thanks, and you, Molefe?
I'm okay. Actually, my comment tonight was, you know, relationships when parents are involved, it's a bit difficult somehow. I mean, like, as we speak now, I'm going through some hard times, which I'm trying to compromise my faith. Actually, my family and my partner, which she's distanced herself from me because of family issues. So for me, it's hard for me because of I've been trying to be there for her, but I've been failing her due to family issues, on my side. So,
just give me an example, Molefe. If you're uncomfortable, I'm happy. But I just want to get a better understanding of what you're talking about. What sort of family issues and involvement are you talking about?
Okay, I mostly don't communicate with my. I hardly communicate with my partner before I do any actions by helping my family. So I do things at home before I tell her. So she finds out late that I have done it. So now the thing is, she says, you know what, I don't have a problem with you helping your family, but I want you tomorrow to say, we're going to do this. If ever it's a problem, we need to face it as a couple, you see?
Sure.
So now she's truly not happy about it, so she's trying to push me away because of this issue. So I've been trying to seek help everywhere, which I can't find. Yeah, so it's very, very hard.
Molefe, great call, and it's a different sort of dimension of family involvement in our relationships, but I think very relevant to this conversation, Dr. Zwani.
Yes, you know, in the case that Molefe and the partner are going through, is what when one partner wants to honor, or they don't want to disappoint their parents. So now they want to live up to the parents' expectations. So then what they will do, depending on how the other partner was also raised, and in most instances you'll find that maybe the one had both parents, and the girlfriend, the partner had only one parent, or even if they were both there, but they were two different sets of parents. So now what then happens, this other one is used to speaking openly about anything, and yet here this side, Mnisi only speaks to the mother about certain things, and he's not open to speaking to the father. So now the very same behavior that he will take into the relationship, where then before he speaks to the girlfriend or the partner, he goes to speak to the mother, because that is the learned behavior that he's used to.
Which
then brings a commotion between the two of them, because now that we are in this relationship, can we engage first together? Not that I'm going to deny what you are going to say, but on the his side, it is possibly the thing that he was just used to speaking to his mother and asking permission or wanting to hear the mother's opinion first.
Yeah.
So now, because it's something that is ingrained, it's something that is happening unconsciously, he's carrying on with that behavior and taking it into the relationship, which is affecting them now.
So Molefe's relationship is in danger now, if I understand what he was saying correctly. How does he bring his wife into the picture in a way that is going to make her feel included, because she clearly feels excluded in the decision-making process? And at some level, I think she's right to protest.
Mm-hmm.
How does he deal with the issue of having learned a particular way of being as a child because of the interactions that he had with his family that has now been ingrained in him, Dr. Zwane? How does he unlearn those kinds of things in order to bring his wife into the space and feel a lot more, and make her feel a lot more a part of the relationship that may even be good for her and her in-laws, yeah?
There's two questions that are always shared in these particular instances. Ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why is it important for me to speak to my mother first? Then, what had happened? What has happened that has made me to want to get my mother's opinion over anything else? Once you start engaging with yourself on those questions, answering the why you are happening, you are behaving this way, and what had happened, then you start getting the psyche of where you get understanding of where your psyche is, which is leading you to behave that way. So once you get to have that clarity on those two, then it becomes easier for you now to understand why you are doing these things that you are doing.
I imagine, instead though, that Molefe would need professional assistance here, because I think that the dealing with those questions needs a very, very clear thinking, properly trained person to help Molefe excavate some of the reasons why he gravitates towards his mother first before he makes a decision about anything. Yeah.
Most importantly, Oprah, because that's why we are here and doing this work with where I'm a relationship coach, to coach you to start now behaving or navigating your relationship in a better way than what you have already been doing unconsciously. So in our journey, then we bring the unconscious and make it conscious to you, mm-hmm. and understand where this thing is coming from and how can you change it around so that it doesn't it becomes a burden into the relationship, but it helps grow whatever it is that it is brought for.
I didn't let Molefe go, because I think it's very, very important that we Molefe, I don't know if you understood what the doctor was saying, that maybe, I mean, clearly you are concerned about your relationship with your wife, because of the danger of the rift that may come about, right? But are you willing perhaps to go and speak to a professional like Dr. Zwane, for example, who'd be able to help you understand why it is that you unconsciously and frequently go back to your parents for decisions that are to be made that may also affect your wife? Are you willing to do that?
I'm willing to do anything that can save my relationship, actually. I'm in this trauma right now because of she wants out. She's done. I've emotionally abused her, which it makes me sleepless nights, hardly eat.
Would she be willing at least to for one last time try and deal with some of the issues you have and go and see a professional like Dr. Zwane? Would she, do you think she'd be willing?
Actually, I'm not promising anything, but we speak, and because of we had a child together.
Yeah.
So we may speak, but it's not about us. We speak about the child,
right,
what the child needs, and,
right,
and so on. So,
okay.
So, but I'm not sure if she will be willing to do,
yeah,
so. And I can't force her. She's
of course,
an adult.
Of course, of course,
so, yeah.
Of course. All right. Will you wait for just the top of the hour and just wait for the details, the contact details for Dr. Zwane? And maybe you can persuade her. Maybe the conversation should be, look, I just at least want to have closure, right? Maybe,
yeah,
maybe the relationship has gone way too far in terms of the rift that's between you. But maybe just for the closure that both of you need in this situation, maybe that might be a good thing, yeah?
Yeah, that's like I say, anything that can save my relationship, I'll go for it.
I hear you, man. Well, Ife, thanks very much for your call. Much appreciated.
Okay,
please listen. Okay. Listen for, yes, Dr. Zwane's details, yeah?
Okay, no problem.
All right, bro. Yo, Dr. Zwane, I'm feeling for Molefe. Yo, eh?
The thing is, Aubrey, what also we need to understand is that this what we call relationship, I always say, put it in a very simple context and say, it's a ship that we are in
together.
Yeah. We are in this ship to learn how to relate better.
And very often, very often we make the mistake, and I'll say, often us guys, and it's not just limited to guys, but you know, the idea that you know, you mustn't try to make me forget home. Don't make me forget my parents here. They birthed me. Sometimes we have that thing, and it's not just limited only to men, but it can be very difficult on the relationship when the other significant other doesn't feel like they are included. I want to take some more calls, but I want to read you some of the messages coming through. Mariah is in Rivonia. Hi, Mariah.
Hi, Aubrey. Nice to chat to you again.
Wonderful. I'm very well, thank you, Mariah. Please switch off your radio.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is that better?
Much better. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Aubrey, I've got sort of two queries, so to speak. The one is, what happens when you're in the womb, the relationship with your parents is good. So presumably you're in a happy space back then.
Yeah.
And then afterwards when you're born and, you know, your parents are getting, well, you know, then difficulties emerge. But once you, like, growing up, that's the one issue. The other issue is, what about different siblings from the same parents and the same conflicts, if you want to call it that, and yet they react differently. Not react, but yes, they have different relationships then. And despite coming from the same environment or the same sort of circumstances, they will have loving relationships versus someone else from the same family that is struggling with relationships.
Yeah.
How does that pan out?
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, your question, Mariah. Let's hear what the doctor has to say. Is there an obvious trajectory, Dr. Zwane? In other words, if a child had a bad experience while in utero, does that necessarily mean that they are going to be having a bad experience in their relationship, or can the bad experience facilitate greater digging in by the person into into their own inner resources to become a different and a better person? Is the trajectory set based on how you experienced life even while you were in utero?
Okay, I'm happy that you asked that, because that give people a wrong perception that if all was well, then it means all will be well with you. If all was bad, then all will be bad with you. That is not how it is. Remember, as I've mentioned earlier, everyone comes here for a certain reason. Each and every child that is born in this planet they are born for a certain reason. There's a mission and a purpose behind them being brought into this life, or them coming into this life. Now, whatever it is that they came for, then their blueprint, whatever the information that they've got here, remember what also people need to understand, that we don't only carry information of only my mother and my father, because even in their blood, there's also other generations. So each and every one is coming here for a certain purpose. Now, when you get here, you do either of the two things. You will then consciously, as you, that's why it's a work in progress.
Mm.
We have got to see ourselves for where we are and what we are at any given moment. Because if we, let's say your parents were having that fight, it doesn't mean that you will have the, you would forever be fighting. But if you are not conscious yet of what it is that you are here for, or you are not, you have not seen and understood it, then you will get into the very same thing that had happened. But once you start understanding your specific journey and what you are here for, then it will then trigger those things that you are here for. So now, with those instances, like where the caller was saying, where what if these two siblings, they're from two families and the two same parents and the same woman. Remember, each and every pregnancy is different. The mother for the child, they could be craving nuts, and for the other child, they're crazy. They don't have craving.
Yeah.
Already that on its own separates the two souls. Those are two different people. It doesn't mean that because they are in the same environment, they will turn out the same. Hence, I keep on referring this thing back to who you are as an individual, which is the work that we do mostly in these relationship coaching sessions, to help you remember who you are. And that is aligned with what you have put these pictures of what you have created. Remember what I created, the picture, and what you create, even if we are having the same experience, are two different things.
Give us a call, 011-883-0702. How has your relationship with your parents, how has that affected your relationship with your significant other, romantically speaking? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. What traits did you learn, consciously or unconsciously, from your parents that would have assisted your relationship or perhaps put your relationship in a difficult space? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. Sesh Kalakala says, I've seen it influence my relationship, taking it from mom. Mom loves unconditional and wholeheartedly. I cannot hold back on love. I go all out, says this person. It hits hard when you're not getting the same efforts you give, because nothing else I know other than 100% into romance. Yeah, unrequited love. And indeed, Dr. Zwane, we learn how to love, as you said, from our parents. And if we've learned full blast love and we're not getting it back, it can be quite painful, yeah?
It can be quite painful, but what I'm interested to know is, me saying that the mother was loving unconditionally, what is he then now making him put the conditions in his relationship?
Ah, so you're saying that the very idea of wanting that love to be responded to in kind is a condition?
Yes.
Enkosiyama. Oh, Dr. Zwane. But surely... I'm aware at some level of the amount of love I am expending, I am investing into this relationship. And if I'm not getting back, surely I can feel it, even though I'll stay in the relationship, but I can feel that love is unrequited. It's not getting the same sort of response. But you make a very powerful point that the very fact that you're watching that, you're seeing that, you're experiencing that, means that there is a certain level of conditionality in you.
Yes. Because the one thing that people need to understand, all of us, we've got a different language that we express love. So when your mother, let's say their language of love is an act of service, that people who love to be of service to
yes.
others.
Yes.
And your language is quality time.
So somebody who is giving you, doing things of service and serving other people, to you, the one that is quality time, it will be saying that they don't have time for me. So now they are, it's like there's a miscommunication in the languages that we are receiving and giving love.
Yeah. And isn't that the eternal problem in human relationships, that we sometimes make the mistake of seeing people only through our lens? And yeah, somebody's going to say, yeah, but what other lens is there, Orbs? But I suppose what I'm saying is that part of the reason why maybe relationships suffer is because we are unable to step into the shoes of another and to see things perhaps as the other sees things, and only see things from our centricity. Is that what you're talking about here, Dr. Zwane?
Yes, that's exactly the main problem that many of us are having. We always say that I want somebody who's going to love me unconditionally. And yet you are wanting this person, you are loving this person with certain conditions that needs to be fulfilled. Now, the question is, how are they expected to you love you as you are with all your imperfections while you can't receive them in with their imperfections? That is what the crux of relationships are there for. We are there to express to each other things about ourselves, things that we are conscious and things that we are not conscious of about ourselves. Because many times I would think that I'm okay, only to learn that all this time what I thought was love, because I'm seeing that through my own lens, it's different to how my husband expresses love. And his way of expressing love is not that it means that he doesn't love me. It's his way. The question that needs to be happening from us, why did I call this particular person who expresses love in this particular way? Why did I call them into my experience in the first place?
You know, as you say that, something sort of arises in my mind that says, is it perhaps also not an inadvertent, perhaps not a conscious effort to try and manipulate and control? So in other words, the idea that, oh, I love full blast, I love completely and utterly, and therefore I expect the same. Could that be something that you might have learned also from your parents, that that manipulative sort of trait that you conveniently are not seeing within yourself? Or maybe you just genuinely blindsided to that reality, that you are in your mantra, in your story, in your paradigm, that you are this wonderful unbridled lover, that you are somehow manipulative at some level, and you might not even be aware of that, which is something that you might have learned from Mama no Baba.
And that's the sad thing about many people in relationships. We are not aware of so many things about ourselves. Exactly the very same thing. When you say I'm going full blast, remember, Aubrey, what I see with my own eyes and what you see with your own eyes are two different things. So you cannot say it's like when you are in church. And let me make an example. We're in church. The pastor is preaching there. Another person is crying. Another person is clapping hands. Another person is sitting there wondering what the hell is happening. But we are in the same space. So meaning that we are taking in whatever that we're taking in a different way. So what makes you think then whatever that you are giving is full blast? Because you may be thinking it's full blast according to you, but not according to the person that you are with.
Yeah, the realities of relativity, hey, Dr. Zwane, that you might be thinking that you are loving 100% and million and billion percent. Gandhi, you are being experienced in a totally different way. Let's take a call from Nkululeko in Midrand. Good evening to you, Nkululeko.
Good evening, Aubrey. How are you?
Well, Nkululeko, just learning so much here from this conversation. Go ahead, sir.
That's great, man. I have been pressing myself through the ages and seeing exactly what Dr. Zwane is talking about.
Yep.
Yes. Growing up, you know, at times you see some things happening. Like I've got some memories of things are happening when I was age 5. I'm around 40 now.
Yeah.
And I see those things affecting me in a way that at times you try to express, but it's difficult for your expression
yes.
to reach the other partner the way you are putting it across.
Yes.
At times you wonder, so how do I really express myself so that this person can actually understand my message, what I'm saying? Then it eats you, and it has made me to really dig deeper and to find myself. What's the purpose of me? Really, am I the person who's not understood by everybody? Or at times I was wondering, as Dr. Zwane is talking about church, that is the same experience that you are reading the Bible and you say, wow, so this is what was happening. Then it affects you. Then you try now to convey the message back to other people, say, I have seen this text. For example, I was reading today the story of David.
Mm.
And when David was being followed by, persecuted by Saul, and the way he reacts back to Saul is a way that he doesn't retaliate.
Mm.
He only runs away.
Mm.
And you see that the sort of relationship he has with Saul turns out to be that David that you see at the end becoming a king, and a king who then forgives. And by so doing, he becomes this person who's loved by God so much because of his behavior.
Mm.
And then you say, you are not understood. So yeah.
I think what you are raising, Gurulego, is a question that I think all of us are beset with, in that how do we communicate, not just to be understood, but to be understood for what we mean. So you can understand my words, but you might miss the meaning behind those words. And what you're talking about is not only to be understood intellectually, but to be understood also spiritually for the deep meaning of what you're saying. And that, I suppose, is the eternal question of communication, yeah? Let's hear what Dr. Zwane has got to say about that, Ngululeko in Midrand. Dr. Zwane, yeah, very often we transmit meaning, we transmit a particular communication. We are heard, but we are not understood the way we need to be understood. Isn't this part of the problem? And could that be part of what we've mislearned from our parents, our progeny?
You know, Aubrey, the what the caller has just raised now is what when we deal with the issue of communication in relationships.
Yeah.
Many of us don't understand that it is not only what we are saying that communicates. Actually, the energy that we are sending behind what we are saying, it is what actually communicates.
Yeah.
For an example, somebody might be speaking softly, but they are fighting with you.
Yes.
You will receive the fighting, not the voice that they are speaking softly.
Yeah, passive aggression, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
So meaning that there's this other aspect of us that communicates before we even utter the word.
Mm.
So there's energy that is surrounding the things that we are saying. So now when two people, when people were having this communication workshop, that is where I will always say to people, listen to understand and the person, not listen to respond to what the person is saying. Listen to understand. And how do you get to understand? Is through asking more questions to get more clarity about what this person is saying. And if that you asking the question is bothering the other person, then it then shows that there's still an underlying thing between you and this person or that would receiver that is not willing to open up and speak about certain things. So when we are talking to anybody, remember, you must send the energy of what you want to receive. not what you are feeling.
Dr. Zwane, I want to take one last call, and I know we are pressed for time because I want you to close for us. Lungi in Randfontein, in 30 seconds, what's your question for the doctor?
My question is around the problem that your partner is always comparing you with other relationships.
For instance,
if they will say, look at your friends, what they are doing, or are you on Tanzania Matota outside, something like that. Yep. I just want to understand what cost.
Lungi, very, very important question to be compared with other people. Dr. Zwane, as you close, how do you respond to Lungi's question?
Comparison is one of the things that we have learned, and it has been done so overt for on us that we think it's right. Also, even at school, we are taught to compare amongst each other. The other one is clever, the other one is whatever. And that's what we have made it to become, as this competition is something that is good, which is actually an animal that crosses this issue. But when somebody is comparing you to the other relationship, it's just a confirmation that they are still not yet over on that other relationship that they are in. They were in.
So
that relationship is part of you.
Yeah.
So you need that person that you are with. They are still not yet over whatever happened in that relationship that they were in.
Martin Kay says something very powerful. As we close, Dr. Zwane says, Aubrey, maybe love your neighbor as yourself should change to love your neighbor as they would have you love them. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Dr. Zwane?
That statement that says love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you are saying you are loving yourself unconditionally, then you will automatically love the other person unconditionally. But the truth is that we do not love ourselves. Many of us think we do, but we do not. How so? Look and listen to the things that we talk about ourselves to ourselves. They give us an indication of how much we don't even love the people that we are.
Hey,
not in front of people, all by ourselves. So hence, we are loving the other person exactly the way that we are loving ourselves. If you are loving ourselves unconditionally, it will be very easy to love the others unconditionally. But the truth is, we do not love ourselves as much as we think we do.
Yo, Dr. Zwane, how do we get in touch with you? Please tell us how we get in touch with you.
You can get in touch with me via email, posha@theloveacademy.co.za, or via WhatsApp 064-518-1767. Social media, I am Gogo Nomanzi on Twitter and on Facebook, Dr. Nomasonto Zwane, Posha Zwane. And yeah, I've got also a YouTube channel, Dr. Nomasonto Posha Zwane. So
Dr. Zwane, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate you.